today as we come to the table.
The reality is God allows these things in our life. And then what does he do? He comes in like our hero and he's faithful. I want to encourage some of you guys. You may be in that place. God's going to allow you to be in a moment of panic and you're going to realize there's nothing I can do. But then you're going to go, but God can. And I remember Hezekiah. I remember God did this for Hezekiah. Okay, here's that letter. Okay, Lord, look what they're saying. Now, again, it's a lot better if they're attacking something to do with God. But either way, I still encourage you to spread the letter out before the Lord. To me, I kind of felt like I had a Hezekiah edge there because God sent us to Knoxville. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't my plan. God did it. So I said, I kind of used that. I said, okay, Lord.
The unfortunate reality is that God does allow hard times to come our way. He does. The reason he does so is to grow our faith and trust in him. It's so detrimental to our growth as Christians that we trust God to come to our rescue, whether it be physical protection or mental peace during turmoil. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will share a little bit of how God came through for him when he trusted his guidance. God will show up. He never leaves his children alone or abandoned. So, whatever you may be going through, remember that God is with you always and will save you in your time of need. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you're ever in a place where you need God to move in a great way and somebody in your situation has challenged God, that's a great place to be. It really is. If they challenge you, okay, well, God, I need your help. Please help, Lord. I hope you intervene. You don't know if you will, what's going to happen. I don't know what your will is in this. But when they challenge God, God's going to defend his name. And whenever I hear somebody, you know, you challenge God and say, you know what, well, you're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to. You know, I could share a couple of stories here since we've been just in the building. I'm not going to take the time right now, but we've had situations come up where people say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. You can't put a road on the property. They told us at one point, you know, and we're not going to let you put a road on. There's no way you can put a road on it. We're landlocked. What do you mean you can't have a road on it? We've got the property or whatever. And so then it's like, okay, Lord, it's your property, and you said we were to be here. They're saying that we can't do this, or they're basically telling you can't do it. It's like, I don't know how long it was. Another a week goes by or whatever, and they're calling in asking us, we need to use part of your property down the lower river or something. And I said, okay, that's great, but we need a road. Okay, you got a deal. I mean, God always works it out. He does. He does. I remember we had somebody in the old building when we lived down there at the first building that we had. We put all the money into it. We moved into it. We knew that God had told us to do it. God sent us there. God said, go, whatever. We were ready to open up. We had that week to get our permit open up or whatever. And there was somebody that was opposing us from getting our permit that was stopping it at the city level. And, you know, I want to be careful how I say this, but I remember thinking, you're not going to stop us. If it's me doing it, that's one thing. And that person died that week of a heart attack. And they gave us our permit. Now, I'm not saying God kills people for us. Don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is I've seen God do miracles when somebody gets in the way of what he's doing. Now, if it's something I'm doing, it's kind of like, okay, Lord, you got to help me out of this mess because I've done something really foolish. But when it's something God's doing, nobody can stop him. And so what's happening here with Hezekiah is God said, yeah, in a minute, God's going to say, look, they blaspheme me. So I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to do this. And Hezekiah is going to, again, go to the Lord, and he's going to hear that answer from him. And so he says, notice this. He says, this blasphemy has taken place, for the children have come to birth, but there's no strength to bring them forth. Again, it's, imagine that. You're trying to have your child, but you don't have any more ability to have the baby. You know, what are we going to do? And so he says, it may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom the master of the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words of which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. In other words, hey, this is between him and God. He's challenging the Lord here. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah And Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. So this, again, this is like good news to hear. It's like, they're not against you, Hezekiah, they're against me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tikhah, king of Ethiopia, that he's come out to make war with you. And so when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to the king of Judah, saying, do not let your God whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those from my fathers that my fathers have destroyed, Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where's the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? In other words, he's saying, look, again, I just want to remind you, all these other kingdoms were not able to stop us. They couldn't do anything. You're not going to be able to stop us either. Don't depend on your God. You don't have a chance. And Hezekiah's already going, hey, my God's already spoken here. You're the one in big trouble. But notice this, and here's, I love what he does here. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers. That is this threatening letter. And he read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. What a great thing to do. I love this. He takes the letter and he lays it out and goes, Lord, look what they're saying about you. Look what they're saying. Guys, do that. If you have some threatening letter in your life, some threatening situation, something that is wrong and you know is not in God's will or you believe it's not, spread it out before the Lord. And if you literally want to bring it here to the building and walk in here, not now would be a good time, but when we're not having service, you want to come spread it out and pray to the Lord, do it. Again, I have to share this real briefly because some of you probably hadn't heard it, but again, it's one of these, I had one of these Hezekiah spread letters before the Lord one time, and I've seen God use this. When we were, again, in the old building down there, and we had, Abby just been born, and somehow there was an overlap of the days that it had, the insurance had run out for like the day she was born or something. And I realized it, and the payment got in or something. I don't even remember how it happened. But, of course, the insurance company saw that, and we had all these hospital bills, thousands of dollars of hospital bills. And they're like, sorry, we're not going to pay that because you let it lapse. It wasn't covered. And we'd had the insurance, you know, straight through all that time. You make all your payments, and somebody laughs. I don't remember how to happen. I think God allowed it, no joke, because he wanted to show me his power. And I was reading Hezekiah. And I took that letter that they sent saying they weren't going to pay for it. They contacted me. We're not going to pay for it, you know. And I took that letter and I spread it out before the Lord. They're in that sanctuary down there. And I said, Lord, look what they're saying. Look, you called me to Knoxville. This was your plan. I'm obedient. I'm happy to be here. I love it. But you're the one that called us to come here. You're the one that gave us Abby. You're the one that has done all this. This is you and we're your servants. We're not just living life and doing whatever. We're honoring you. And now look what they're saying. They're saying your servant, and I'm kind of using it against him. They're saying your servant, whom you sent to Knoxville, who you gave this new baby to, they're saying they won't help me pay for it when I've been faithful to all my bills. So, Lord, even as you helped Hezekiah, I pray that you'd help me. I kid you not. They called me up. I don't know how long after that. I never remember if it's like a day or two or right after. The insurance company calls me up and says, guess what? We've decided we're going to cover that bill for you. Now, how many insurance companies, after they know they don't have to pay you for something, how many call you and say, we're just going to do that? Has that ever happened in your life? Again, God was showing me, you trust me, you be faithful to me, I will do what I said I'm going to do. This is something Hezekiah needed to learn. And God was showing his faithfulness. And by the way, as God grows you in faith, God will bring you to these challenges. And sometimes God allows these things to happen in your life. Sometimes he allows these things to where you think, oh my, I've really messed up, Lord. You got to help me. And God's going, I know, I'm the one that let you mess up. And God may even have caused you to mess up, you know. And so this is for you husbands. Remember, you can tell your wife that. Honey, God made me mess this up for our family. You lack faith. You woman that likes faith. I'm just kidding. But the reality is, God allows these things in our life, and then what does he do? He comes in like our hero, and he's faithful. I want to encourage some of you guys. You may be in that place. God's going to allow you to be in a moment of panic, and you're going to realize, there's nothing I can do. But then you're going to go, but God can. And I remember Hezekiah. I remember God did this for Hezekiah. Okay, here's that letter. Okay, Lord, look what they're saying. Now, again, It's a lot better if they're attacking something to do with God. But either way, I still encourage you to spread the letter out before the Lord. To me, I kind of felt like I had a Hezekiah edge there because God sent us to Knoxville. It wasn't my idea. It wasn't my plan. God did it. So I said, I kind of used that. I said, okay, Lord, you said, right? And now Hezekiah says, Lord, I'm your servant. I spread it out. Notice this. Well, look what he says. He spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. Now, first of all, again, God remembers who he is. But you'll see these prayers, and this is a good way to learn to pray. That is for our sake. We need to remember he's the God between the angels of heaven. He's the God sitting on the throne with all power and all authority. That's the God we serve. We have to remember that. So he's reminding himself, you're the God that's between the cherubim. All these false gods that this guy is serving, they're nothing. You're the God. You are God. You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, all those others are fake. You're the real God. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Lord, it would have been one thing if he was attacking me, but he's attacking you. How dare him, right? I love this prayer. What a great prayer to pray. Truly, the Lord, the king of Assyria, has laid waste all the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands. That's why he defeated them all. They were wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone. Wow, what a powerful prayer. And notice God answers in a powerful way. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me. Now, let's just stop for a moment. I have that underlined. That's some theological challenges there. What if you hadn't prayed to him? Is God not sovereign? I guess God does allow choice and our prayers to influence what happens. I'll leave that with you to battle in your theology. But he says, because you prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. In other words, you're nothing. You're nothing. They're going to mock you when this is over. And I love this. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? And not Hezekiah. Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high, your pride? Against the Holy One of Israel. Whoa. I love it. By your servants you've reproached the Lord. And you said, by the multitude of my chariots. Now notice all the my's and I's we run into. This is pride that Sennacherib had. By the multitude of all my chariots, I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. I have cut down all the tall cedars, its choice cypress trees. I will enter the farthest height, to the fullest fruitful forest. I have dug and drunk water, and with the soles of my feet, I have dried up all the brooks of defense. That's what he said. Did you not hear long ago how I made it? In other words, why do you think you were able to do that, Sennacherib? Because I did it through you. God uses unbelievers. Did you know that Satan, the Bible says, is a servant of the Lord? He serves the Lord. He can't do anything that God doesn't let him do. And God controls all things. Now, when he does evil, that's not of God, but God allows that and he'll judge it one day. But he uses him, even those that are unsaved. He says, did you not hear long ago how I made it? From ancient times that I formed it, now I've brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps and ruins. I gave you the ability to do that because I was going to judge all those cities. I used you as my sledgehammer. But I'm the one that brought the judgment. Therefore, their inhabitants had little power because I was doing it. Wasn't you? They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, as grain blotted before it's grown. Again, good for us to remember, if there's any abilities and strengths that we have, who's really given it to us? It's the Lord. But I know your dwelling place. You're going out and you're coming in, and your rage against me. Because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose. Now, why would he say that? Because when they did take prisoners that they didn't impale or kill, they would line them up naked, put hooks either in their nose or their mouth, you know, in their jaw, and they'd lead them, I mean, sometimes, you know, hundreds of miles through the desert to wherever they were going. And they'd have to walk with these hooks, and of course, if you try to run with a hook in your mouth, right? Of course, they'd probably have chains on their feet as well. You couldn't get away, but if they had a hook, you'd tear out your mouth or tear out your nose. It'd be a horrible thing. He says, but I'm going to put my hook in your nose. In other words, I'm doing to you what you've done to others now because you think it's about you. I'll put my bridle in your lips and I'll turn you back by the way which you came. This shall be a sign to you. Now he talks to Hezekiah. This is to Hezekiah, to Israel. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself. Now, why would he need to say that? Because remember, they're under siege. They couldn't go out and work their fields. It's kind of like what's happening now in Russia and Ukraine. They're talking about the wheat problem because the farmers aren't out working the fields because of the war. They were not able to go out and work their fields because of the war. And says, don't worry, I'll make your old crops enough to last a whole year. That'll be assigned to you, even without you working the fields. The second year, what springs from the same. Also, the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. That's beautiful. You're going to grow roots deep and you're going to bear fruit upward. I love that. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city. And I love this, nor shoot an arrow. Notice how he makes it ant, not one. I mean, there's not even going to be one guy randomly, plink. I mean, he said, no, there's not even going to be. I mean, now they had 185,000 troops up on the hillside by the time they came back. Okay, when they do come back, that's what's up there. Not one of them is going to shoot an arrow. I mean, there's going to be no aggression toward the children of Israel at all. Not an arrow will be shot there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, he shall return. The same way he shall return, he shall not come into the city, that is a Sennacherib, because his army is not going to go back with him. They're all going to be dead, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake, number one, and number two, for my servant David's sake. Isn't that great? I'm saving it for my great name's sake, and I'm going to save it for David's sake as well, because I made a promise to David. What a great promise from the Lord. Man, you talk about being on cloud nine. This would have been exciting. Then the angel of the Lord went out. Now, again, some believe this might have actually been the Lord himself, because in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is a reference to Jesus. It just literally means the messenger of the Lord. And so when God speaks to man, he speaks through Jesus Christ. And so the angel is a common language that's used. But some believe, no, this is just a normal angel. This is not the Lord himself. Either way, this angel goes out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there the corpses were all dead. So whoever this angel was, again, when it refers to the angel of the Lord, it's not saying that the Lord's an angel. I don't want you to be confused there. It's just the word is messenger. But this angel, whoever he was, wipes out 185,000 soldiers in one night. And here's the amazing thing. Nobody in the city heard a noise. Not one scream, not one yell, not one, oh! This angel just went through just silently. Everybody's dying. That's just amazing. I mean, that's something about that's like so, I don't know. It's fearful and it's awesome at the same time. I mean, just taking them out. And you think about the power of the angels. Now think about the Lord in the garden. You know, Peter's got his little Peter Pan sword out, you know, right? He says, put your sword up. Could I not call all these legions of angels? Look what one did to Sennacherib's army in one night. Just went through silently. Whoa, they all dropped. Nobody made a peep. Nobody cried out. Just dead. He said, if I wanted to, I could stop this. I came to die. Put your sword away. I'm going to the cross. And so, again, just the power here. Just amazing. Guys, if there's anything I want you to recognize tonight, the power of our God. He has such power. If he's not moving the way you think, it's not because he lacks power. It's because that's not what he wants to do at this moment. But trust me, when he wants to move and the way he wants to move, you're going to see the power of God. That's the God we serve. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away and returned home and remained at Nineveh. Now, did God leave any of them alive? Was there, out of 185,000, were there a few servants to Sennacherib? Or did this guy wake up on his own and look around and realize, all my men are dead, and he's the only one in the middle of it? Can you imagine the fear, the feeling of, oh my goodness? Can you imagine the attention that God got of him? I mean, it's amazing to me he never gave his life to the Lord. We're going to see that he dies in worshiping his God in just a second. But you would think at that point he'd be going, okay, the God of Israel is a little bit different than what we've been facing. Maybe we bit off a little bit more than we can chew. And I just, what was it like waking up by himself and all of his men, get up, come on, let's go. And like, oh my goodness. They're all dead and shaking them and yelling and seeing just rows and rows of guys in armor. Just the scene had to be amazing. Notice he returned to Nineveh, and it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. And then Esrahaddon, his son, reigned in his place. How sad. Here's this guy, all his pride, all his arrogance, killed in the worshiping his false god by his own sons because he didn't repent and believe in the God of Israel. And God gave him time. He said, yeah, but he just went back. This was 20 years later. When you look at the timing in other places, other portions of Scripture, this actually happened 20 years after the 185,000 were killed. So 20 years, everybody traveled all the way back. God gave him 20 years to think about that time on the mountain. And I wonder, you know, God is gracious. Maybe some of you, God has shown you himself in powerful ways from the time you were a kid all the way till now, and you've never given your life to the Lord. You're here, maybe, I don't know why you're here if you don't know the Lord. Holy Spirit brought you, I know that. But God may be reminding you, saying, remember what happened 20 years ago? Remember what happened 10 years ago? Remember what happened a month ago? Here you are again. Why are you waiting? What's holding you back from making that decision? Look, I just want to encourage you. If you haven't given your life to the Lord, I don't want to assume, but when the Holy Spirit's drawing you in, you do. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you in and he's saying, I'm giving you time, but you need to respond. Don't die in the house of your false god. Turn to the God of Israel and receive him. And for us who know the Lord, let's remember his power. You know, if you're doubting God's power, you have feeble knees and weak hands and you're fearful hearted, remember the power of the Lord. God can turn your situation around instantly. Instantly. Run to him. Ask him to do it. Read ahead the next couple, you know, two or three chapters. We'll finish up 38, 39. We get to 40 on and it just kind of starts heading up toward, you know, the heavens as it just kind of works in toward the end of Isaiah. But go ahead and read the next few chapters. I always want to get more chapters than I get to, but either way, I'll trust that God said what he wanted to say tonight. And I want to just pray for us now to be strengthened if we're fearful hearted. And I want to pray if there's any of you that you've had that, you know, Sennacherib experience and you've seen God spare you and God has shown you grace. And he's saying, you know what? That grace isn't for forever. It runs out. Respond before it runs out and give you that chance to do that. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for those of us that know you and we see your power. And I think of, Lord, all the things you've done in our life as a family, in my life, and I've watched you move in great ways, Lord. I've had my Hezekiah moment and just seeing your faithfulness and your power and watching you turn situations around that were impossible and doing things, Lord, that just don't make sense, but they do when you're involved. And it just proves that you are the God of the universe. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. And I pray for any tonight here, Lord, of the family of God. They have weak hands. Feeble knees.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching verse by verse through the book of Isaiah. The first half of this grand prophetic book contains a warning for the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. See, the rulers of these kingdoms had given in to idol worship and forgotten the ways of God that their predecessors followed. But God was not without mercy, and he sent prophets like Isaiah to bring warning and encourage people to turn back to God. And while the world is much different now than it was in Isaiah's time, you and I have received a word from the Lord in today's message. If we turn away from sin and run with all of our might into the arms of Jesus, he will forgive us of our sins and make us into new creations. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus, or you'd like to get connected with the ministry of Come to the Table, you can reach us by phone at 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. We also invite you to visit us online at thewaymedia.net, where you'll find out more about the radio programs we offer to provide sound biblical teaching over the airwaves. And if you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to welcome you to join us for a service at Calvary Knoxville. Just click the Calvary Knoxville button in the menu bar, and you'll be redirected to our church website for more information. Well, we're running out of time for today. Be sure to join us next time for another broadcast of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.